Today, I've got some confessions, six mistakes I've made when planning Disney World trips. That's coming up on this episode 11 of WDW Prep to Go. Hello and welcome to WDW Prep to Go, where we talk Disney World strategy and ideas for people planning their Disney World trips. I am your host, Shannon Albert, the creator of WDWPrepSchool.com. You can find me there a couple times a week with posts that are in addition to this weekly podcast. You can also find me all over social media, Twitter, Pinterest, Tumblr, Facebook page. The newest addition is Instagram. I had been for a long time thinking about joining Instagram, but since I don't, unfortunately, live at Disney World, I couldn't quite figure out how to make Instagram work for me, and I finally found an app that allows me to post pictures that are reposted from other people but gives them credit, and so I have been looking for some of the best pictures on Instagram and reposting them. I also occasionally post pictures of my own, so join me at Instagram under the name WDW Prep School. Before we jump into this topic, which unfortunately it was really easy for me to put together a list of mistakes I've made because I'm the type of neurotic person that remembers everything they've ever done wrong, which is super unhealthy and super self-loathing. But for instance, I remember a spelling word I missed in first grade, and the word was Wednesday. And the teacher, which I think is pretty advanced for first grade, don't you think? I know some adults that can't spell it. I was actually a really good speller, but for some reason that word tripped me up and I couldn't spell it. And the teacher made fun of me and I have never forgotten it. So putting together a list of mistakes that I've made at Disney World was all too easy because I have kind of a running catalog of mistakes I've made for my whole life. But unfortunately, one of these mistakes I actually made this year. And so it never really quite ends. And I'm hoping that you will learn from my mistakes. Before we dive into those six things, I wanted to take a chance to remind you to please leave an iTunes review if you are an iTunes user. The easiest way to get there is wdwprepschool.com/iTunes. It'll take you right there. Here is a 5-star review from a user named bterrier518, and the subject of the review says, "So happy I found you." And the review says, "This podcast is a must for anyone planning their first or 50th trip. I find all the information presented in an easy to understand way. It is very important to be informed before you travel to the world, and this podcast will do that, do just that without being overwhelming. Thank you, Shannon, for your time." Thank you, bterrier518, for your time in leaving that review. I appreciate it. And I think the review is interesting because I definitely target content to first-time visitors because that's sort of my passion. They are the most overwhelmed. Once you've been once, you definitely can always learn things, but that feeling of being overwhelmed is never quite the same as it is for people who have never been. So I appreciate when people that aren't first-timers get value out of it. And like she says, you can be on your first trip or your 50th, even though the first-timers are my primary focus. And I just thought it would be interesting to note that I actually do get emails from people while they're at Disney World who have not planned anything for their trips. And so they frantically go on their laptops or their phones and they Google for information and then they email me for help. And so it's important to plan and don't get there and get overwhelmed and freak out and waste a bunch of time and money because you haven't thought it out. So anyway, thank you for that review. And if you are an iTunes user, please leave your review as well. So let's dive into today's topic about the mistakes that I have made planning Disney World trips. All right, mistake number one, not allowing enough time for transportation. And if there's anything you take away from this episode, it is this. When you're using Disney World transportation, you must allow at least an hour each way to get from point A to point B. I actually made a dining reservation online yesterday for my next trip, and I noticed that Disney World actually advises 1.5 hours. And I think that would be that's a super conservative estimate. I'm going to stick by 1 hour because I think generally that's enough. But you definitely need to allow about an hour to get between points. There will always be exceptions. There will always be, you know, that those 2 points that will take less, but an hour is safe. And the mistake that I made, was our first trip, we had kids that took naps. And so we had to leave the parks to allow for nap time and then go back. So I think it's, you know, a good idea to leave parks like after lunch, say 1 o'clock, and then have the afternoon when it's the busiest and hottest to go back and rest, take naps, swim, whatever it is you want to do, and then go back out. Unfortunately, I left 4 hours or so. Like, I thought, oh, we'll leave at 1 o'clock, go back, take a nap, and then we can be back for a 5 o'clock dining reservation. And it doesn't really work out that well. So, you know, you leave 1 o'clock, you get back to your room at 2 o'clock, maybe you finally get down and resting by 2:30. And if you take 2 hour naps, you don't get up till 4:30, that you're not going to be back for a 5 o'clock reservation. And unfortunately, it depends where your reservation is. But if you're going back to the park, you have to allow for an hour. So just keep that in mind. No matter what you're doing, you need to allow for that. Now, a couple of people, when they hear this, they always say, well, what if I drive? You can drive. I don't drive on vacation because I absolutely hate driving. So if I'm on vacation, I'm going to omit it. Even if it means a little longer, you know, spent on a bus or something, I really don't like to drive. So you can drive, and you will possibly cut down on the time since you won't be waiting at bus stops for a bus to show up or a monorail or a boat. But it's still going to take a bit of time because you still have parking lots to contend with. You still have to get in the parks and get through lines and bag checks and all that kind of stuff. So I would definitely still allow 30 to 45 minutes, you know, if you're driving. At Magic Kingdom, it's not quite as simple. When you drive the buses, when you ride a bus or take a monorail to Magic Kingdom, it delivers you to the front of Magic Kingdom. When you drive, you have to park in the parking lot and then take a ferry or monorail over to Magic Kingdom. So there's an additional step when you drive to Magic Kingdom. But if you drive to the other parks, it should be faster than the bus. You can also take a taxi. I especially think taxis are helpful when traveling between resorts. And after nighttime shows, when there's long lines for buses, then I think taxis are really helpful. Also, when your schedule's tight and you need to save a little extra time, I think a taxi, you know, it's worth the 10 or 12 bucks that it costs to save yourself some trouble and some stress. So that's number one, not allowing enough time for transportation. Mistake number two is choosing dining all over the place. Now, when you are presented with dozens and dozens of options, it is overwhelming to try to figure out where you want to eat. And so you might read something and go, oh, that sounds like fun, I'll just book it for that day, without any regard for where it is or where you'll be that day. And this is why in my six-step planning process, step three is to make a daily plan. So in other words, plan where you're going to be every day of your trip. And step four is to pick dining reservations. And that's because I want you to pick dining reservations based on where you're going to be. And this is one of the things that I often suggest to people. People email me their trip plans and I give them feedback. And a lot of times this is the thing that I tell them that they should probably change, because they're like, I'm going to start the day at Animal Kingdom, and then I'm going to eat at the Polynesian, and then I'm going to spend the evening over at Hollywood Studios. I'm like, that's going to take a while. I mean, you're really traveling a lot for a meal, and I don't recommend it. Keep in mind, go back to mistake number one, transportation takes a long time. So the more you can narrow that down, the better. So I highly recommend, if you are, for instance, staying in a deluxe, you usually have a lot of dining options nearby, so you should take advantage of those. You should definitely eat near the park you're going to be at already that day, either in the park or near the park. So definitely don't run around to eat. That's mistake number two. Mistake number three is planning too much. And this is something I did. I mean, I think it's very tempting for first timers. You read about all these different things there is to do and you just want to cram it all in. And I actually had somebody email me today and say, I have one day to spend at Disney World. Can I do all four parks in one day? And the answer is no. I mean, I guess you could, but no, realistically, you're not going to do more than one park a day, maximum two parks a day. And I mean, this applies to everything. I mean, I've had people say, I'm going to check into my hotel, and then I'm going to Downtown Disney, and then I'm going to Animal Kingdom, and then I'm going to dinner, and then I'm going to go to the boardwalk. No, you're not. You really aren't. You need to pare it down. Even though I'm a big fan of planning, I'm also a plan of flexibility, and I'm a plan of allowing time for unplanned activities, plan for unplanned activities. I don't know if that's a contradiction or not, but you have to leave time open for things. And if you plan too much, it's not going to be fun. So the mantra I always tell people is that family vacations are about making memories and having fun together, not to do everything. You are not going to do everything. I don't care how much time you have at Disney World. So don't try to cram it all into your days because it won't be fun. It'll be stressful and it doesn't allow for flexibility. So if anything happens, then your plan will get thrown off. So just pare it down and try to make it realistic. And if you don't know what's realistic, feel free to email me and I will help you out. Mistake number four is not having all members of our family in the pictures. Now, you can accomplish this a couple of ways. The way that I like the most is to use the PhotoPass photographers. And so I will pre-purchase the PhotoPass CD and then go and have the PhotoPass photographers take our pictures and then come home and order the CD to be sent to me. You can also just hand your camera to the PhotoPass photographer. So I hear a lot of, I hear some negative feedback about the PhotoPass photographers. People say, well, they're not good photographers. They didn't take good pictures. The pictures were unusable. I couldn't find the PhotoPass photographer. So that hasn't been my experience, but it's happened enough that I know that it does happen with some frequency. But if you want to, you can just hand them your camera and have it taken so you don't actually have to purchase the CD. You can have them taken, or you can do both. So some people do both. They like to have that backup of, you know, use the PhotoPass photographer's camera and my camera, and then hopefully we'll end up with enough good photos in the end. But the mistake here, like in our family, you know, one of us would be taking a picture and we'd get home and we'd have three out of the four of us in the pictures. And how are you supposed to print that out and put it in a frame? You know, you really want to make sure you're all in the pictures. And the PhotoPass photographers are usually stationed in places that have really good picturesque backgrounds, like the icons in the parks or the Tower of Terror or the Eiffel Tower and the France section of Epcot. You know, they're usually in strategic places that have picturesque backgrounds. So you can definitely make use of them. If all else fails, then you can ask somebody else to take your picture. And if you do, make sure that you're asking somebody who has a similar device as you. My brother-in-law on one of our trips kept asking senior citizens to take pictures with his digital camera. And at the time, digital cameras weren't as common as they are now, and they didn't know what to do. So it's better if you are taking iPhone pictures, find somebody with an iPhone that knows the button to push and have them. But just make sure you all end up in the picture so you don't get home and have one person missing because they are the family photographer. Okay, that's mistake number four. Mistake number five is booking flights based on cost alone. Now, I understand the logic behind booking flights based on cost because it's an expensive trip, and so you're obviously going to want to try to spend the least amount on flights, especially, you know, if you have four or five members of your family, that's a lot of money. But the problem is that a lot of times the less expensive ones also may have layovers, and layovers can really throw a whole trip off. And so, for instance, our family, we live in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, which actually does have a lot of direct flights. American Airlines is based here. But because I was being cheap and I wanted to book the cheapest flights, our flight back from Orlando one time included a stop in O'Hare in Chicago, which is completely out of the way. And we ended up there for 12 hours, I think, with toddlers. And so we didn't get home until like 4 a.m., even though we were due home, you know, much earlier that day. And it completely threw everything off. It was just a really unmagical way to end a trip. And when you live in a city like Dallas-Fort Worth area, you know, I should have really looked maybe further in advance or paid an extra $25 per person for those direct flights. It will save you so much time to do that. So I just recommend, if you can, book flights based partially on convenience and not just on cost alone, so that you can start it in your trip with the least amount of drama possible. I know some cities you have to have a connection. I've lived in some of those cities as well. And in that case, I would just say to minimize the number of connections. You know, if two connections is a for sure thing, you know, don't book a flight that includes three. There are some websites you can use to look at your flights to see how reliable they are, because some flights just seem to be delayed perpetually. And so you can go to flightstats.com and check the history of a flight that you're considering just to see how often it's on time. And if it seems to always be late, then maybe you can pick another flight. But anyway, so book flights based on convenience for you and not just cost. That is mistake number five. Mistake number six is something I did just this year, and I can't believe that I did it. And the mistake is that I did not use resort check-in at Disney World for my bags. And my mom and I ended up at the airport standing in very, very long lines. And this wasn't a peak travel time. This was the last part of April when we actually had a great trip, not busy parks or anything, but the Orlando airport is so busy. And we get there, and this was a gift to my mom, this trip. And so I had done everything to make it as simple as possible for her. Direct flights, her checked bags were covered, the dining plan, you know, everything was covered. And the end of it was the worst part. And that's because we were in these long lines to check bags and go through security. And the reason I didn't do the resort check-in was because I had booked a car to take us to and from the airport. And in my head, the resort check-in was only for Magical Express guests, even though I know that's not true. And so the lesson here is you don't have to use Magical Express to use resort check-in. If your airline participates in resort check-in, and I'll include the list in the show notes for this episode, you can check your bags and then get to the airport however it is you're going to get to the airport. Magical Express, your own car, a driver, whatever it is. And so I could have saved us a lot of hassle. We could have passed the bag check line, which was really long, and just gone to security. Security line is long enough, but I would have reduced one more line if I had done that. So I definitely, definitely recommend that. Even if you're not using Magical Express, resort check-in is a time saver. Okay, so that's my six mistakes. Just to recap very quickly, mistake number one, not allowing enough transportation. Two, eating all over the place. Number three, planning too much every day. Mistake number four, not having all members of the family in the pictures. Five is booking flights based on cost alone. And six was not using resort check-in. All right, so I hope that is helpful and maybe you can save yourself from some of the mistakes that I have made. Before we wrap up today, I do have a quick tip of the day, and that is it's about the Disney florist, which I bring up fairly often, but usually when I'm talking about the Disney florist, I am talking about how you can have the Disney florist deliver things to your Disney resort room. So they can deliver gift baskets to welcome you or decorate your room or send flowers, whatever it is that you want to do. But my tip today is that the Disney florist actually will ship things to your home as well. It's not just a resort delivery thing. And for me, this came up recently because my daughter's lives in a dorm at college. And so I was sort of thinking about, you know, Halloween's coming up and she would appreciate having something, you know, for Halloween that to kind of decorate their sterile dorm room. And Disney florist actually offers some Halloween packages that I could ship to her. And so that might be a good option. But you can do things, you know, Christmas is coming up soon, birthdays, whatever. And so I just wanted to make that my quick tip of the day in case you were looking for anything at home that's not during your trip. They are a good option for gifts and deliveries. If you have any tips, questions, feedback, please feel free to email podcast@wdwprepschool.com. You can also call and leave a voicemail at 414-939-7900, and I'll get back with you, or I could play it on a future episode. I think that just about wraps up this episode of WDW Prep to Go. For more information on this show, including all the show notes, you can visit wdwprepschool.com/episode11, and that's the number 11. Until next time, I'll see you on the site.